This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for your visitation amongst us. We thank you for the healing virtue flowing through the house. We thank you for the healing virtue. We thank you for this season that you've brought upon us. We thank you, our Father. We thank you, our Father.
Is a taunter. For your adversary is a taunter. Is a taunter. Miote sua nea puara tenianda. I'm turning. I'm performing a turning. I turn the tide against him. Even that which he meant for evil, even that which he meant for a destruction, even that which he meant even for a downcasting of the soul, even that which he meant for heaviness, I'm turning it against him. I'm turning the tide. I'm steering another waters. I'm steering from within. It will grow stronger. Watch with me. I mean, not tide. I'm turning the tide. I'm steering a tide. A mighty wave of the Spirit. A mighty wave of healing. A mighty wave of liberty. Mibu abu. Abiantubu. Abiantubu. Bu 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 bu. Abu bu bu bu. Brood. Brooding. It will cast out that other cloud. It will turn the tide. Turn it around for your good. Many kinds. Diverse kinds. Testimonies abound, say the Spirit. Sir Nokodi Jean Johetone Jr. Stock. even the stock of the Prince of Peace, even the stock of the Prince of Peace, for it will run from the head of Aaron. It will run down from the head of Aaron. Oh, even down to his beard and even down to his garment. Many, many, many parts. Many, many parts. Many, many parts. Many will take part. Many will take their part. Many will take their part. Even in pushing him out. Send him out. It will not just be upon one. Oh, many, many, many will put him to flight. Many will put him to flight. For I will cause it to run. I will cause it to rest. I will cause it to run down. I will cause it to rest upon many. Oh, me, your sorcerer. It's a steering. It's a steering within many. It's a steering even many. Many, many. Break it upon many. I break it upon many. I break it upon many. It will begin from the top, but it will still flow to many. It will come to many. It will come to many. And me on tetsu see atanatia, for he will look on the right and they will push him out. He will look to the left and they will send him out. He will look to the back and they will not give him room. Oh, he will look forward and there is no space for him. I mean, cut to raise many, and not to raise many, even to stir up many, even to stir up many, even to stir up this anger in many. And on to see antanata hunger and that holy hunger, holy hunger, holy hunger. And he bet you into this part, even into this part. Bet you into your portion. Bet you into that portion. I mean, many, many, many. It's for 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 many. Enter your portion, said the Spirit of God.
We thank you, Father. Receive your sayings upon us as a house. Trust in all that you have said and believe in every word you have spoken to us. We say, let it be so. Be it unto us according to your word. Be it unto every one of us according to your word. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. The theme we've been treating for the past 9 weeks has been following the what? Dealings and leadings of the Spirit. And today, you know, is the last lesson on this series. This is lesson 9. We thank God for that. We are looking at checks and balances in following the dealings and leadings of the Spirit. So let's quickly go through our texts. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16. Can we all read it together? One, two, go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16. Through it himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. One to go. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Amen. Let's quickly go over the recap of what we learned last week. So we often ignore the leading of the Spirit because we crave what our senses can confirm. Hearing the Spirit is developed through consistent use. But when we start dictating how he must lead us, we end up fellowshipping more with the flesh, and that makes us insensitive to him. There are key truths to understand about the leading of the Spirit. First, it is a faith-based journey, not one led by fear or logic. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts to help us follow him. His leading isn't always the hard or negative path. God leads step by step, although the believer may be led through various paths, all orchestrated by the wisdom of God. must also understand that the Spirit doesn't force. He gently leads. Spiritual maturity affects your ability to be led. You can miss it, but God can restore. Interpretations of spectacular leadings must be Spirit-led. The Spirit will always exalt Jesus and lead in holiness and righteousness. You must be consciously aware that the leading of the Spirit comes through the regenerated Spirit, and it brings confirmation through other mature believers. We must always align with God's word. Until full redemption, our thoughts can't be trusted without discernment. The Spirit leads to retrain and transform the soul. To become more sensitive to the Spirit, we must give ourselves to the word, meditate on it, practice it, instantly obey the voice of the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and be filled in the Spirit, because it is a precursor to an actively led life. The first thing you want to do is to establish the essence of dealings and leadings. And the second thing, we want to show the cautions to be heeded when engaging the leading and dealing of the Spirit. There must be cautions, you know, that we must engage, you know, if we are going to successfully tread this path of leading and dealing of the Spirit. You know, I remember back then in school, one of my sisters had a vision. You know, we didn't know so much. In fact, I say we didn't know anything then. We knew very little, you know, but she had a vision. And the vision she had, you know, she had a vision of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, after, you know, what the Lord Jesus said to her, you know, in that vision, you know, she was just so enraptured in the aura of his presence and his person. Truth be told, if you see Jesus today, you know, you will know that he's a very beautiful man. You know, when you see Jesus, and I'm also saying this in hope of when I will also see him. I'm not talking about maybe a vision, but I'm talking about, you know, revelationally, first of all. And eventually, even when you see him in a vision, when you discern the realm of the Spirit and you see him, you know that he's not an ordinary being. So after having fellowship and enjoying the aura, she said she was so lost that she wanted to follow him. Say, Lord, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. And you just take me with you. And, you know, she said in that vision, the Lord Jesus handed her the Bible and said, if you follow me now, you get lost in the realm of the Spirit. Because this is actually supposed to help you to discern your way in the Spirit. No, since that day, I just knew that you cannot give totality of your followership of the Lord to encounters. Because encounters can derail you eventually. You can see Lord Jesus, you know, physically. And the next time, you can see somebody exactly like that and it might not be the Lord. Because encounters can be deceptive. That's why you must stay in certain parameters so that you are not led astray. There are certain parameters to judge leadings and dealings. There are checks and balances. Introduction. The essence of the dealings and leadings of the Spirit is salvation. As you have established in previous lessons. Can we shout salvation?
Salvation!
We need to be clear that the ultimate goal of every dealing and leading of the Spirit is to deliver us from our ways and our thoughts, which have separated us from God. As we are led by the Holy Ghost, we close the gap. That's the separation from life between us and God. Isaiah 55, you know, verse 8 to 9, makes us to know that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, he said that the heaven is higher than the earth. Psalm 23, verse 3, said, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Can we say, for his name's sake? Dealings and leadings of the Spirit are sometimes called process. Can we say process?
Process.
Obedience to commandment that comes from teachings and doctrine. No dealing and leading of the Spirit leaves you the same. We see this in the lives of saints of old who follow the leading of the Spirit. So really, the ultimate goal of leading and dealing is salvation. Now, there are leadings, you know, that we are trained with aforetime, you know, to begin to awaken our senses. And also, throughout our journey, we also defer to those leadings because they are useful all through the way. But ultimately, you know, there are certain leadings that is just to deliver you from a particular danger in the natural. You know, Pahagin was giving the testimony of a man of God, you know, that, you know, he and his wife wanted to travel. I think in the book, I Believe in Visions? They wanted to travel. And, you know, in the morning they woke up to pray. And, you know, they prayed, they confessed the word upon their lives. And then he said he went out to check the car. And then he went out to check the car, you know, to see if it's in good shape, you know, to just prepare it for the journey. You know, he said he felt in his spirit, you know, that can you just wait 10 more minutes? Now, they have prayed. They've confessed the word. Their safety, they've prayed as we are going, as we are coming, there shall be safety, no evil. But I said as he stepped out, he had that prompting in his spirit. Can you just wait 10 more minutes? He said, we've already prayed. He went inside, got his wife ready. They came outside. He said, as he entered the car to drive, he felt that thing again. Just wait 10 more minutes. But he ignored it. He said, I've already declared the word. I've already proclaimed. And he said, as they were going, they had a very ghastly accident. They had a fatal accident that could have been avoided. So he was just trying to say that there are just certain leadings that are just to save you from harm's way. Because if you lose your life, salvation process has finished. So if you say that leading is for salvation, there must also be things to also help you not to enter certain danger zones. Because the enemy that you see does not like you one bit. He doesn't like you. You know, everything that he's giving, he wants to offer you, is because he wants to destroy you. His nature is the nature of a thief. And he has just three agendas. It's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as he sees you on this path of salvation, and he sees that you are tenaciously wanting to pursue it, he can also go after your body. So it must be all round. You must know that there are certain, you know, leadings and dealings that are just meant to give you that sense, you know, to know when to avert danger, to know when to step back in some things. Pagin said there was a particular time, you know, that he wanted to carry out a particular business deal. And he said he knew there was a prompting that don't invest in this thing. And he went ahead to invest in it. And he said he lost hundreds of dollars. He suffered that repercussion, you know, for quite a number of months before he could bounce back. So even in your natural, there are things around you. The Holy Ghost is not that being that just wants you to prosper in the spiritual and pays no attention to your natural. You know, I wish above all things that you do what? You prosper and be in what? Health. You know, so Holy Ghost can even lead you in the place of health. Holy Ghost can tell you to stop sugar, to stop certain things. Why? Because he knows that if you continue this way, next 5 years, the accumulation of sugar in your body will give you a particular health challenge that it will now be difficult to manage. So what he has in mind is salvation. But he knows that you need like 70 years to achieve that. So he begins to give you templates of how to live your life. Things to avoid. Don't eat junks anymore. Drop this. It's because what he really has is salvation. But he knows that if you drop this body, salvation has finished. So he'll begin to also bring pointers in every other direction so that you will not eventually lose out on salvation. Let's quickly go to checks and balances in dealings and leadings of the Spirit. You know, the spirit of a believer is perfect. You know, when we say perfect here, we are not saying eternal. There's one they call a perfect man. This perfection here is not the perfection of eternal life. It's the perfection that is in Christ. And is not under the influence of what the body and soul are subjected to. The spirit is the entity that has the details of everything about our lives. And this information is true. It is the avenue through which the Lord instructs, leads a believer. Dealings and leadings from both the regenerated spirit and the Holy Ghost are accurate and true. Now, the aspect of us that is being led is the soul and not the spirit. Hence, the soul plays the key role of followership in dealings and the leadings of the spirit. The source of all dealings and leadings of a believer is pure, but the vessel, which is the soul, through which it is to be interpreted, is impure. For the soul to successfully carry out the will of God, there are parameters of judgment that the mind and heart must be armed with. This is the reason for checks and balances. Proverbs 20:27. Can we say the spirit of man?
Man.
Personalize it. Say my spirit.
My spirit.
Say my spirit.
My spirit.
Is the candle of the Lord.
The
searching all the inward parts of the belly. In our first lesson, you know, when we're dividing the entities of man, you know, we could see that when God made man in the beginning, spirit, soul, and body were not created to function independently of one another. They were created, you know, to function as a single entity, you know, but it's just that the progression of how things are done, it progresses from the spirit through the soul and expresses eventually in the body. When the spirit died, we began to see how Adam began to stumble. Why? Because certain things were being pushed from his spirit that were alien to the life of God that was in their soul, which made them living so.
And if God did not come to bring that separation, it will not take 1 hour before that soul completes the cycle of dying. The spirit man is a candle. You know, when you look at the candlelight, candle is either on or off. There is no middle ground for candle. It's either it is on or it is off. But the soul is not like that. The soul is not a spirit. The soul is like, they call it the belly, where you find different things are in the belly. So you can have access to a part of the belly, but you don't have access to the other part of the belly. So what sin wanted to do was to ravish that belly until it took complete hold of that belly. But God quickly came to bring asunder, you know, that spirit and the soul. It's just like, you know, one of the punishments that the Romans, that they meted out on criminals, is that they will take a dead man and tie him to a living man. They will release the man that you are free, but they will just tie that dead man to you. You cannot lose that man from yourself. So everywhere you are going with a dead man. As long as that corpse is decomposing, the force acting on that man will also be acting on that person. Eventually, that man would die from the stench and the horrors of that corpse that he's carrying about. So God had to quickly come to bring a separation between spirit and soul. It will take a little while before that soul also dies. You know, after years, we saw that man eventually opened up his soul. But you know that even with the fact that man opened up his soul to a great extent, Satan was not able to fully raise a man that can exactly represent him the way he is. Why? Because the product owner is God. Satan is not the product owner. You know, he also began to learn man by observation. He does not know the full component of who a man is. That is why it is difficult for him to break into you fully. Even natural man can give Satan limits by reason of his will. So there's nobody here that you can say that there are certain things that you cannot come out of. It's only a matter of time, because you got there by reason of use. When you begin to use something else, you'll be able to drop that thing. Once God comes to that point that you say that this thing, I am not going to allow you to have the end of me. I am going to walk out of you and I'm going to overcome you. Now, when you have that mind and you begin to engage doctrine, only a matter of time before you will see that that thing will no longer have a hold on you. So over the years, what the enemy has been able to do, you know, is to bring impurity into the soul. A lot of impurity, a lot of works, a lot of baggages into the soul. Why he was doing that, you know, is that if I can't fully have you, God also will not have you. No, he's doing that so that when eventually God comes with a plan of salvation for that man, it will be difficult to restore that man back. Over the years, you know, what God has been doing is that he wants to purify the soul. So leading of the spirit, you know, is meant to bring purification to the soul. So that's why 1 Peter 1:22 was saying that seeing that you have purified your souls, forget purifying the soul if we neglect the place of truth. Truth is the primary reagent to purify the soul. You know, when we begin to engage, you know, the apostles' doctrine, the milk of the word, there are preparations to help us so that we can engage truth appropriately. All manifest works of the flesh are meant to distract you from the unseen works of the flesh. So they want you to give all your lifetime in the serving of manifest work of the flesh. And you don't even know that there are higher matters to deal with in your soul. They call abstinence from fornication, they call it your sanctification. Mean that when you are sanctified, then they can now bring their own reagent to now begin to work inside your soul. So until they deal with certain things on the outward, you always be distracted not to see that something is already inside you. So what they use to begin to work inside of you is called truth. When you want to look at the soul, if you want to understand what the soul is, you know, see that dump site. You know how many years of waste is there? No, they call the soul old waste. They call it desolation of many generations. So if they want to begin to clean that site, what do you think they will have to do? Do you know how much work we go into it? Because so that place has become like a mountain. So when you see a soul, when they begin to say that there are mountains in the soul, that mountain is made up of wastes. It's a mountain of things that are of Satan. No, the soul is like a topography. Many things are in the soul. The soul is like a land, a vast land. The enemy wants to take the whole soul. But the more he's adding, the more he's seeing that there is still space for more. He has been adding for years now, and there is still space for more. A man can exhaust the things of Satan, and there will still be space for more. The only being that can fully fill man up is God. You don't know the vastness of the soul of a man. He has been pouring dirt, pouring things, but he's still seeing that, this thing is not full yet. So God begins to bring truth because he wants to now begin to purify. Purification. is they are removing things. They are taking out things, debts. You know, whenever it rains, that place, you automatically see that the smell becomes stronger. When sun shines, the smell will go down. Some of us are like that. They just need certain rain on you before some things come out. Certain environment to bring out certain things. But God is committed to dealing with those old ways. It's called impurity in the soul. So now your spirit man is pure. Now they now want to lead you. But the vessel that they want to lead is impure. So there is no way you will not discolor leading. There's no way you will not discolor leading. Why? Because it is mixing with reagents in your soul. That's why we need checks and balances. If we don't have checks and balances, you know, there are men that God started with them on a powerful note. They just need to learn you for a while and begin to bring your loss to you. After a while, you will see that you deviated completely from the path. What does it take to deviate? When you have a straight line, you just need a little 0.001 deviation. 0.001 deviation is enough. But by the time you engage that 0.001 deviation for another 5 years, you can never reconcile that to the straight line. So that's why we need checks and balances. Now that's why you should not be hasty to say that you are led in certain critical decisions and then people wanting to check you and you are saying that, no, it's just me. I just want to go ahead. This is what I... No, you must be afraid of certain leadings. Daddy was saying that if you know that Holy Ghost can lead you to a marriage and it will fail, Holy Ghost can lead you to take up a job and they will sack you because of your work ethic, you will know that you have to wait on leadings. Beyond certain things Holy Ghost wants to do, he wants to also impart a nature that can sustain that thing. Is a nature that can sustain marriage. So it's beyond this, the sister, this, the brother. If you are hasty in the brother and the sister, when other critical decisions come in that marriage, you still also be hasty. So they've not dealt with hastiness in choice making. When you also enter it, there will still be hastiness. They've not healed you of that nature. The following are some of the checks and balances we must have on the tablet of our hearts to walk in accuracy in following the dealings and leading of the Spirit of God for our lives. Can we say sincerity of heart? Insincerity colors dealings and leadings of the spirit. If given room, many things in the heart influence the soul to cunningly mimic the Holy Ghost or our regenerated human spirit to chart direction. Such are ambitions, idols, lack of fear of the Lord, covetousness in all shades, color our dealings and leadings. Ezekiel 14, you know, from verse 1 to 4, the Lord was telling Ezekiel, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." This is why you must check and check again. And what you are checking is the idols in your heart. Check the lusts in your heart, your love and your preferences. When you have a prompting or a nudge within you, and is in a particular direction, you must be sincere to yourself, first of all. Why? Because our lusts can lead us. Our lusts can prompt us. Our lusts can impress things on our souls. And it will look as though it's the Holy Ghost that is leading you. It will look as though this is the Holy Ghost. In fact, you can have a 7 days prayer and fasting, and the response you are still getting is the lust in your heart. Why? Because you might have even placed two options before the Lord. Option A and option B. Lord, which of the two? And it will shock you that the Lord's will is none of the options. So as long as you are there trying to press him for one of them, when eventually you have an answer, you are still following your lust. Lord must help us to check and check again. And check and check again. For example, the option that Abraham gave to Lot, choose this or choose that. Originally, Lot was never meant to leave Abraham. That was not supposed to be an option he was supposed to go for. Who will cry and say, "My father, my father"? Is it headsmen that will cause division between us? Let us call these headsmen to order. Let us correct them. I'm going with you anywhere you are going to. What did Ruth do? Say, where you go, I will go. No, that shows the state of the heart that Lot also wanted to separate from Abraham. So, actually, sometimes you have two options, but God is not in any of them. You must check certain things that you have grown up with. Sometimes, as a brother, you must check that you don't have tribalism in your heart. As a sister, you must be sure that there's no tribalism in your heart. You know, when tribalism is there, you will not even know. You just see that every leader you are picking is towards a particular tribe. You have never even have had that conversation before. But by reason of where you grew up, how you were raised, things imputed in your heart about a particular tribe. Whenever you see a sister that is there, it never crosses your mind. It will never come into your radar. You always friend zone that person. Sometimes you must sit and ask yourself certain questions. Why do I think God is leading me to this sister or to this brother? They had to expose Peter's heart to him when they let down that sheet. And it was the Lord that was speaking. If the Lord did not speak, you automatically know that Peter would think that that's an evil spirit. There are certain things in your heart that will make you say, no, Lord. You know he's the Lord, but you can say, no, Lord. Because the way I've been raised all my life, I've never tasted anything unclean. So, no, Lord, can be our slogan when certain things are still hidden within us. When you see the brother's raw estate, you'll be like, no, Lord. You are not seeing his finished product. You just see his raw estate, how he is right now. You're like, no, Lord. It might not even be a conversation you say out loud, but your heart just takes another turn. And Holy Ghost cannot enforce, because there's just something that is just saying, no, Lord. No, Lord. No, Lord. So we must be sincere. Sometimes we are not sincere to ourselves. Certain things are being triggered by some other things. And the truth is that where this thing is, you know, even the place of sincerity also, we must also ensure that we are also following up that thing with the word of God. And with checking with spiritual authority. Why? Because you can be sincerely wrong. The truth of the matter is that you can sincerely think something is right. Until they confront you with other things, you will not know that you are already taking sides with something else. Sincerity of heart is very important. No, sincerity of heart is what will lead to the other things that we want to read. When they say patience is the next one. It's sincerity of heart. If you are not sincere, just want to run with what I've gotten. Sometimes even competition among certain brothers make you want to go with a particular kind of sister. Maybe you are three brothers in you are friends. Brother A married a particular class of sister. I'm like, okay. And brother B also. And you look at yourself that the other sisters around are not meeting up to a particular class. So automatically you can just say, oh, because this and this and this, then you begin to think things higher than you. Begin to consider things higher than you. Things that can kill you. I think in school then, Holy Ghost would have led you or said something to you. But because that thing is not really sitting well, you want to confirm it again. From somebody that you feel that might be able to help you around it. This one is not submission so that you can be helped. This one is that you want validation from another person to follow what is in your heart. That person said, you don't need to come and do this. You know what the Lord is telling you to do. Like, look at Balaam. He already had warning not to go. But when they came again, and then they reviewed the salary. They increased the payment. I said, oh, okay, you don't want to come because of this. All right, we are going to add this and this again to it. You know, the enemy knows how to offer you things. You know, one of the slogans in the world is that there's no man that you cannot buy. Price might differ from price, but there's no man you cannot buy. As long as you can offer what he wants, you will buy him. So that's how the enemy thinks. You know, he told God that, does Job serve you for naught? Every man that serves you, there are something they are looking for. Every man that is serving you today, they are looking for something. So you need to look at yourself. What are you serving God for? If some of those things are no longer there, is there still that trueness of heart to God? Or once those things are no longer there, then why am I serving God? So they increased that thing and we could see covetousness. No, him going back to God was covetousness talking. He was no longer supposed to take that matter back to God. Covetousness said you can still negotiate with God now. This is an opportunity you cannot afford to miss. You cannot afford to miss this opportunity. You must, God, let's think about this thing again. And it became a stumbling block to the Israelites. Eventually, he ended up being slain. He enacted a way and a doctrine. Say, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Patience, you know, that's the second thing. You know, apart from the earlier examples I gave, you know, about those things that are implemented to guard you against, you know, harm in the physical, maybe loss of finances and all those things, you know, we must learn to not be hasty. To be in haste means to move ahead of God. Most of our major life decisions cannot be perfectly understood in terms of time, resources, and places because of their sensitivity and complexity, unless we allow time to pass over them. The soul quickly caves into pressure, jumping into how, that's processes, and when, timing, ahead of the Lord, causing the believer to miss God. Leaders are proven with patience. Abraham and the patriarchs were patient. Even God is patient. In that place, I said that we must, through, you know, faith and patience, inherit the what? So meaning that whenever patience is missing from a man's life, say he that believes shall not do what? Say he will not make haste. No, that's why I don't think there's any decision, you know, that it must be as though if I don't do it now, I will die. Kind of decision. You know, why? Because one of the things that the Lord Jesus commended Pahagin for is that he takes his word and holds it tightly, you know. And why he said that was because he had an encounter with the Lord and Lord told him something. And he told the Lord that I will not take this from you until you can prove it in scriptures, at least three places. Who does that to the Lord? Amen. He said he felt the Lord would be angry, but the Lord smiled at him. And Lord gave him three instances in the scriptures to just establish a particular point. When you look at the setting of us, we have always idolized maybe that place of having an encounter. Like if I can just see an angel, that I can just describe his eye or his apparel or the way his feet is shining. Sometimes you are not even interested in the message. But in that spectacular, I've seen this thing and I want to share it. You know, it's an issue. When you are hasty, you will not pay attention to details. When you are hasty, you will glide over important matters. When you are hasty, you will take steps, you know, their repercussion will be for years to come. Hastiness. You know, you can be so convinced that this is the person God wants you to marry, but when you come to authority, they will tell you, can you just wait another 6 months? They will just tell you to wait. They will not even give you time. Just wait on it. And you are expecting that they will call you. First month passes, they did not call you. Second month, they did not call you. Third month, and they begin to see another brother, begin to talk to that sister. Daddy, are you not seeing what is happening? And they don't even look at your side. And he's like, that brother is just going around that sister. And you're like, this is not how it is, though. Then you cannot begin to now orchestrate yourself into the life of that sister by yourself. And all they told you to do is to go and wait. That waiting, really, what that waiting is doing to you is much more of a nature change than you getting an answer that you should go ahead or not go ahead. No, I also wrote here that you must also submit to processes. There are processes around those things that you must also, you know, submit to prove your heart. It's a proving of the heart. We talk about humility and meekness of the heart. Another way to define the leading of the Spirit is to follow Christ. And in following him, we must be humble and meek. This means we must agree that we don't know it all, that he is the all-knowing Savior, and that we are ready to bend or yield our ground in case our leading is not accurate amidst seemingly infallible proofs. Like the prodigal son, we must be able to turn back after we realize our error. Humility and meekness of heart. You know, another place the enemy can stand, you know, is that place of pride of the heart. The pride of the heart is what will not allow you to admit that you are wrong. And it comes in different shades and manner. Pride of the heart. If you ask me, the person that committed the greatest offense between David and Saul. Saul did not kill anybody's husband and took their wife. He did not do that. But what did God see in Saul that he did not like? You were just confronted for a wrong that you did. And he said, honor me before the people. That's pride. Then that's pride. Sometimes you don't want certain people to see that you are making certain mistakes. So you want to appear in a certain way. And you are not interested in how God sees you. When they came to tell David that you have sinned, you know, Nathan did not take him to the corner and was rebuking him. His servants were there. When he said, let me fall into the hands of God, it was before his servants. He did not say, Nathan, keep quiet. Let's go. No, no. It was there he was repenting. How I knew is that when he was fasting, even his servants, they were watching with him, with that baby, that he should not die. So they knew the whole story, that his weight, he has sinned, and this baby doesn't want him to die. When the baby died and he went to freshen up and eat, they were like, what's wrong with this guy now? So his life was not hidden before them. They knew that he can make mistakes. And they knew how his response when he makes a mistake, that God help me, I've done it again. But some of us, we just want to package ourselves. I said, let them see me as a spiritual brother. God does not like that thing. That is why you will not be able to confess your fault one to another. Because you have put yourself in a position that God has not placed you.
Mama Romoha for Cradi, a sheshe perodono, here Kalia Bonge. Sima tossi sion tesinata, setineanto, pempe, sisianta. These things I have bore. These things I have bore. Even they that will come close, even they that will draw near. They must drop. They must lay it down. Even for no flesh will glory in my presence. Even these things I have bore. Omiato siya tekele nomburu kadia. Look within by the instrumentality of the word. Let the word be the guide. Let the word be the judge. Let the word even be your standard. Even for they that would draw near, they must be of a humble heart, a meek and a quiet spirit. A demand for commerce is a major demand, even for commerce into my presence, say the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. So humility and meekness of heart is a major demand for commerce. The next one is, let one prophesy and let others judge, submitting to one another, you know, in the fear of the Lord. No, we can't do this without the previous one, which is humility and meekness. We can't submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, you know, if our heart is not molded in that particular way. No, leading should be submitted to men or brethren of mature minds that are exposed to the same knowledge of God's word as you are. We should be sincere that it is not all that we call dealings and leadings that are from the Lord. At times, we may not have an accurate interpretation of what the Lord is saying. Proverbs 11:14. So where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what?
Safety.
There is safety. You know, this to me speaks to the people that you surround yourself with. We will do bad in leading if the people around us, you know, are not on the same journey with us. We will not do well with leading if we surround ourselves, you know, with certain friends, certain people, you know, that their judgment is not based on the parameters of the light that you are already, you know, getting acquainted with. Because when they bring certain things, people in the world can applaud it. You know, there are certain judgments that people in the world applaud. But when it comes under the light of Christ, it becomes a sin. Do you know sin? Daddy has once taught it that if that unbeliever can say something is sin, then you know that sin is higher than that. All these manifest works of the flesh, there are certain unbelievers that are ashamed of them. They are ashamed of certain of these things. Some of them even pride in their separation from some of those things. So if that is all you think is sin, then you don't really know the weight of what they call sin. Because sin did not start in the realm of man. Sin started in the realm of the heavens. And it is first of all an angelic virus before it came down into the realm of man. So there are certain things, you know, until they begin to open our eyes, we'll not really see what sin is. We'll not really see what sin is. Until they begin to open your eyes to begin to judge certain motives, intentions in your heart. Oh my God. It is in that place that they would nip sin in the bud. So if we surround ourselves with people, the understanding of sin is still some of these things, you know, we will not know when we begin to err. Because one thing that Christ will do is that he will raise your judgment higher. Pastor Hagin was sharing a testimony, you know, of how he went to a place to minister. You know, I think he said the last meal that him and his wife had was maybe around 1:30 on Sunday that afternoon. So when they went there to minister on Monday, you know, the couple not make provision for their food. So that means from 1:30 on Sunday, throughout Monday, there was no food. Throughout Tuesday, there was no food. Throughout Wednesday, he said by Tuesday, he already picked up his phone to call the superintendent to report that man. Because the superintendent was his friend. He said he wanted to call that man. But because I was just wondering that what kind of wife endures that kind of thing with the husband? Is that wife that will be pushing that man? But she was patient until he made that decision that he wanted to call the superintendent. Somewhere I begin to discern that something in that woman also had, oh my God, there was a stature in that woman. She was supposed to be the one pushing that man that, no, I can't take this anymore. What kind of thing is it? But until he made that decision to call, she did not say a word about it. I mean, to push him to maybe, as he picked the call to want to call, you know, he said from within him, he had that restraint that don't make this call. Said he dropped the phone. What said, are you not calling again? He said, I'm not calling again. And the wife left it like that. You don't know what they call submission. She would have been the one to pick up that call and say, my husband, you are too slow. I don't like this thing you are doing. You don't know when people are riding on you. You don't know when you are supposed to respond. You don't know when you are supposed to... Why? He said, on Wednesday, he picked up the phone again to call. Because he said, by that time, he said his stomach was already touching his back. Hunger didn't enter. No, there are seasons of hunger that you know that I just need food. When you wake up in the morning, that hunger you feel, because it's yesterday night, you wake up with the hunger, you know that, okay, I'm feeling hungry. But this one, when hunger entered, it's not that you are feeling hungry. You know, if I don't eat, I something if you do me. So he picked up the call on that Wednesday to call again. He said he typed two more numbers. Because you know, if I report this man, it will be so much trouble. How can you bring a minister and his wife? You don't make provision for their food Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Imagine they were hungry 3 days and they were ministering. He said his wife went to the freezer and she saw one boiled egg, one bacon, and something. He said they had to divide it into two. So that was what they had in their stomach. Oh, I'm not going to grieve for that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? That is power. That call he wanted to make, he wanted to turn a stone to bread. He would have brought himself out of that situation, brought that man into trouble, but would have broken protocols of life. Said within him, something rose up. No, when he says something, no, many of us like saying something. That's the Holy Ghost. Say, you can't do that. You can't call. You can't report this man. Like, oh my God. You know, normally, if they bring that before you, judge it now. You say, judge him. Judge him now. You would have told him that you've tried. You've tried. You have tried. You have tried. But he has not tried, and the Holy Ghost says you have tried. The parameter of judgment is with the Holy Ghost. So he said he dropped that phone. He now said, as he was dropping that phone, that Wednesday evening, he said there was a knock on the door. San, one of the deacons that lived across the street, not skim, and said, oh, I noticed that, you know, the husband and wife, they've been leaving the house very early in the morning, and I don't know if you have been eating, but in case you need anything, you know, our apartment is open. Just come out and take certain things. He said he did not spoil that man before that other person. He still covered him. He still covered him. And he said from that Wednesday evening, they began to have food to eat because they were going to that place and there was supply. Imagine if we had reported that man. He said he knows that you cannot continue like that without getting into trouble eventually. But then I will not be the one to contribute to that. Why I said all these things, I just wanted to see the place of his wife in all these things. Because she could have pushed him. She could have pushed him to do certain things against the protocols of life. Against protocols of life. So that's why, also even your friends, people around you must be people that you are engaging the same thing. That woman understood what love meant. That was a demand of love. Submitting to spiritual authority, the pastor of the local assembly. The pastor is not only placed to preach the word, but also to watch over the souls of the flock, because he also stands answerable to the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus. It is honorable to properly submit to the head pastor in a local assembly. Give him the liberty of scrutinizing your dealings and leadings. The office of a pastor is anointed and has been trained to discern between the voice of the chief shepherd and the whispering of the serpent. One of the ways that they raise shepherds is by taking them through intense, fiery dealings and training. Sometimes they allow them to learn from their own experiences so that the people under them can be helped against certain things. In fact, you can receive promptings and nudgings that I am being led to give a certain amount of money to a particular person. And when you bring it to your authority, they will tell you to forget about it. Don't go ahead. And you'll be like, ah, what is happening? Because truth of the matter is that certain people, they've been led to give everything, all their personal belongings. But it was not the Lord that was telling them. When the enemy came to tempt Jesus, he was saying, it is written. Oh my God. For you to be able to decipher it is written from it is written, you need a covering. Yes, there are certain it is written that will come to you that is still not the Lord. That if you allow yourself to be exposed to evil spirits, they know your kind of soul. That will boy like Bible, gone. We cannot get it without Bible. Oh yeah, it is written. So what will deliver you from certain snares of the enemy, even with your knowledge of scripture, is covering. Say covering. Covering. That's why you cannot be in this house and you're not properly submitted. You cannot be in this house and then you say your pastor is outside somewhere. Because a person can be here, but you are not under pastoring. You are not under covering because you are not giving yourself to the processes of the house. You don't give them the liberty to scrutinize the dealings and leadings that you say you have gotten. Now, I remember that time when I wanted to get a house to marry, and I was looking for an apartment. There are certain places I was so sure that this is it. That this is it, then I felt I was picking something. But now I knew that it was because I was tired. It's now that I can look back and say, oh, that will consume me, Nikwe. This just has to be it. Because I'm looking at my wedding in 1 month's time. Because it's silly. No house. Where will I bring this girl that's come from Ibadan too? Where will she stay? So when we see a place, I'll come to daddy and say, daddy, we've seen the house. And he's like, ah, this is not the house I'm seeing in my spirit for you. I'm like, what's all this now? Just allow me just take a house. You can get to certain junctions in your life. That is just that this just has to be it. Holy Ghost, multi try. Some of your reception is as a result of frustration. That the brother that is coming at that time just feel like, ah, brother is around you. Don't feel like this just has to be it. Or there's a sister just feel like, ah, that way, adra tingba. But yet, it is not it. Frustration can make you receive certain things. I'm just tired of how things are going. I just want a change. You can have a frustrating boss. There was a time that, you know, where I was working before, my boss was frustrating my life. And I just felt it is time to move. Not because Holy Ghost says so. Because somebody was disturbing me. My wife knows the person very well. Every time I come with you, this person again. But they allowed me to stay in that place for another year. And I did not move. Because your job can be a source of how they are leading and training you. Yes. Some people just want to carry their bag and leave their family and move to a brethren's house. But you don't know that even in that your house that you are in. Because that your house you are staying, there's house chores for everybody. And your own is customized. Maybe because you are the last born. And they're all the plates that everybody is using to eat. You are the ones to wash it. And you're like, they're not allowing me to listen to message. They're not allowing me to concentrate. I just want to carry your bag and move. At that time, authority can tell you to stay. See, stay there. Some people, it's the distance of where you are staying. It's far. And you feel the next thing is just to carry your thing and move closer. And I think that distance is the training for your soul. That's what heaven is proving to show that you really want this message. Your commitment every morning, you wake up by 5, I'm going to church. To traverse that distance. When you don't have money, you are crying, I don't have money, I want to come. They are testing your heart to see that there's hunger in your heart. This person wants this thing. Because what they want to commit to is treasure. So your own test to show that you really want this thing. Heaven said that, yes, we can give him. Is that for 1 year, you are traveling that distance. For 1 year, you stay where heaven puts you. Undergoing every possible process of change there. And that is your own training. That's your own dealing. So submitting to spiritual authority is very key. Because why? Any hair that is not covered, it's just like there's a fan going around like this that wants to cut heads. So you must stick your head under. Judging, proving, dealings, and leadings by the parameters of truth. That's the word. We're begotten by the word of truth. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost bear witness to the truth. And every leading of the Spirit must also align with the truth. That's the mystery of Christ, the Father, and God. Any dealing and leading outside these parameters will never lead us back to God. Lastly, you know, tender-heartedness, repentance, seeking of forgiveness, heeding the Holy Ghost corrections, are heart postures to assume for proper engagement of the leading and dealing of the Spirit. Can we say tender-heartedness? You know, when the Lord came to Moses and said, I want to destroy these people. You know, that swiftness to intercede. It was not as though those people did not frustrate Moses. But that place of being able to intercede for them and saying that, ah, God, you can't do this. So it's fountain from a place of being led. That 40 years of his leading was what created that tenderness. Some of us will never be tender until they lead us through certain processes. Because you don't understand certain frustrations. You don't know how to handle it. That's why one of the ways they lead our parents to be very tender is that they take them through things that can break them. It would take away the hold of man's strength from them. That they just learn to trust in God. Apostle Paul said that which is working death in us is working life in you. So there's a particular kind of death process they take a shepherd through to ensure that tenderness of heart is worked inside of him. Because a shepherd must be tender-hearted. Brother to brother, we must also be tender-hearted. You know, the reason why we can keep malice is because we are not tender-hearted. Reason why we can keep grudge, reason why we can keep certain things against another brother is because we are not seen with the eyes of the Lord. If the Lord endows you with eyes, you will know that there's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing. There's nothing you cannot let go of. He said, ye that are spiritual, do what? Restore him in the spirit of what? Spirit of meekness. When you see certain people, you know, going certain routes, doing certain things, it will spur you to begin to pray. It's in that place that you can really know that, you know, you are being led, or you can pick leadings towards that person. You cannot now say, I just failed not to talk to this person again. I failed to keep my distance. All those things are feelings of the things of Satan that is still inside of us. Rules of engaging dealings and leadings of the Spirit. Don't work out dealings and leadings for yourself. Rather, obey God concerning the dealings and leadings he brings. Working out dealings or leadings can get us into trouble. We can see Abraham and Sarah. You know, they brought forth Ishmael because Abraham went in unto Hagar. The covenant is always with that which the Lord approves. God cannot establish a covenant with what man orchestrates. James 1:20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's very possible to work out dealing and leading for yourself. Scripture says that they that compare themselves to themselves are not wise. There are certain parameters, certain standards. You know, there are specific parameters of leading. You know, apart from when you talk about the world, when you talk about individual lives, there are certain places that you are right now that another person might not be there. And because of that, you can pick certain leadings. That other person might not be able to pick it. So if a person that does not have a stature for a leading wants to enter it, that person can kill himself. That person can injure himself. So we must ensure. See, working dealing is like what I said earlier, wanting to go somewhere, wanting to put yourself in a particular place, not allowing the Lord, you know, work out certain things for you. You know, by that, you're automatically calling what is not to yourself. And like we said, sickness is not a dealing, and all those things, you know, they are not dealings of the Lord. We must be able to cast them, you know, out and speak against them. Don't murmur and complain while going through dealings and leadings. We should not call for self-pity, sympathy, anger, bitterness. They all come from unbelief. No complaint rises from a heart of faith. We must know that it is extremely dangerous to murmur. Murmuring and complaining are accusations against God that His plan for you is not good. Unchecked murmurings always lead to offense. If you don't check those murmurings, it will lead to offense. You get angry against the process. You get angry against authority. You get angry against your brother. So, one of the reasons why God was not well pleased with the children of Israel, although they were all baptized into Moses, all baptized into the same provision and allocation, was that they were complaining and murmuring about what was going on in their lives. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Say, but by what? By prayer and supplication. With what? These three things will not be missing. Say, make your what? Request known to God. So God prefers that when you are going through certain things, you come to Him. Prayer. Supplication. With what? Thanks. It must never be missing in the life of a believer. Irrespective of what you are going through. You must always be a person that gives thanks. Because murmurings can make you to what? Can make you to cut short your process of leading and dealing. Don't be offended in the Lord, spiritual authority, or the brethren. Sometimes hope, expectation, and desires are deferred during dealings and leadings of the Spirit. At such time, the hearts could get disappointed and offended in God, spiritual authority, and the saints. Offense makes the heart resistant and unwilling to do the will of God and accomplish the program of the Godhead. A believer can be offended at the message, the progression of doctrine and revelation, become familiar with the Lord, and due to unbelief, become offended, limiting the Lord's working in such a believer. Now, why this offense can come, you know, certain people, when, you know, the only emphasis that we had was the emphasis of the doctrine of Christ. Certain people were going through it. But when it's opened again to the emphasis of the Father, we saw that certain people they got offended. Now, why is that? It's because the heart always wants to give a time to dealings. You want to give a time that, okay, I can endure this for 5 years. After 5 years, I should have attained. But when it begins to get elongated, and Lord begins to now further unfold certain things, the heart can grow weary. Like, no, I don't think this is accurate. I don't think this is right. Certain times in your life, you might be going through a particular season of a particular lack. Look at Abraham, for example. Reason why he went into Hagar, you know, he was telling the Lord, after the Lord said, I am your shield and exceeding great reward, began to tell the Lord that, no, you see that I'm going childless. There must be something you must be able to do for me. And many of us, we are like that. Because when we see the dealings of the Lord, we no longer appreciate the person of the Lord in that thing. Because of the pressure of that thing that we don't have at that time. So we want to orchestrate different paths, you know, to come into it. And when the Lord begins to shut those doors, we can get offended at the Lord. We can get offended. In fact, we can even get offended at spiritual authority. Even at your brethren, you can get offended. You know, what offense does is that it causes you to draw back. One of the things that made Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus, part of it, I know it was offense. Why? When that lady poured the alabaster box on him, what did he say? He said, this could have been sold, you know, and we'll get more money from it and give it to the poor. That thing, you begin to get offended when certain people begin to generate certain level of service that you're unable to. That woman generated a certain level of service that Judas Iscariot could not generate at that time. And because of that, he got offended in it. And said, show little by any. He's as hard as this. I beg you, we can do other things and, you know. But really, what was talking was offense. Judas Iscariot, going to the last point, we should not waste our leadings and dealings. He spent 3.5 years with Jesus. He was one of the persons that was with Jesus from Jordan at the baptism of John. And all those 3.5 years, you know, of his suffering, you know, he suffered with Jesus. Certain times, Jesus will send them 2 by 2 without pause. Just go, whatever house you enter, whatever food they give you. And also, when you follow Jesus, they'll be hungry. There'll be no food. The end of the 3.5 years, he ended up betraying the Lord. So a person can go through certain situations of his life, certain dealings of his life, and he will end up not profiting with that allocation. Not profiting with that allocation. And it will all be a waste. Now I'm praying for us, you know, that even as we are coming to the end of, you know, this Supernatural Clinic series, you know, that the Lord will help us, that every season of our lives will not waste it.
Amen.
That we would press in to understand, you know, the intention of heaven for a season. Look at the Israelites. God said, I led you because I want you to know that man shall not live by bread alone. It will be a waste if we finish certain seasons and we have not come into certain knowledge. You've not come into certain resolves in your heart. Certain resolves in understanding the person of the Lord. One thing the Lord wanted them to know is that he wanted them to know his faithfulness. That you might be going without food for a day, for 2 days. It does not reduce the faithfulness of God. Your resolve must be committed to the person of the Lord. Irrespective of what we are going through, we must know. He said, I just wanted you to know that man shall not live by bread alone. Now, I see God helping us all in Jesus' name.
I think we can appreciate Pastor Praise what the Lord has done through the past 9 weeks. Thank you so much, sir. There was so much weight of the Spirit, you know, as he was speaking, you know, and I trust God that the Lord will, you know, the Lord will help us mightily in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Pastor Praise. You know, just to re-comment on one or two things that you have mentioned. Amen. One of the things that I just feel, you know, that was very, very strong, you know, in terms of when Pastor Praise was teaching, was that the place of leading is in the faculty of the soul. It's the soul that is led. He says, it leads me in the path of righteousness. You know, he says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restored my soul. You know, so this issue is a matter of soul. And it's in soul that we have mind, we have heart, we have imaginations, we have thoughts. You know, we have different operations. And that's where the warfare of leading is. In scripture, Apostle Paul said that Satan can also transform himself as an angel of light. Not just any angel of light. That's illumination. I remember Daddy did a very thorough work one time in dealing with familiar spirits. You know, there are spirits that prevent you from coming to church. Then there are spirits that come with you to church. You know, and they can master our arrangement very properly. There are many things that sometimes look haphazard about us when the Lord is leading us. Is sometimes to break us and make us even look very unpredictable that spirits can't even master us quickly. They wonder what's this, what's that, you know, and that helps us to escape. You know, Egan has also mentioned that spirits can mimic the Holy Ghost. And for believers that want to be spiritual, there is a package for you. As an SU brother, there's a package for you. As a fire for fire brother, there's a package for you. As a brother that loves knowledge and light, there's a particular package that they have for you that looks like it, but is not it. And you'll find out that all these checks and balances that Pastor Praise has taught us, those are things that we use to measure and judge parameters for leading. You know, many times leading is not just about the instruction, go there, do this. You understand? There are many, many things that we check. you know, to make sure we're not breaking the law of life. So you find out that, you know, James, Jude talked about certain people that are what? They are sensual, having not the spirit. So it looks like the spirit. When you say sensual, a sensual person is not a carnal person, no. It's not somebody that just has emotion. No, that's not sensuality. Sensuality means you have mastered the senses of the flesh, the faculty of senses. You can pick things. It is the spiritual version of a dead spirit. It's the spiritual version of flesh. A carnal person is just, oh, from year to year. But you can be sensual. He says what? Having not the spirit. He didn't say having not spirit. So it means that spirit can rest upon flesh in a way that it can look so real, but it is not the spirit. And that's why you see John say that, check all spirits. Don't quench the spirit, but check and test all spirits. Because as we are a people moving in the company of light, as we begin to progress more and more, it becomes more difficult to tell the blurry lines and we can fall into error. And I trust that the Lord will help us. He will give us grace. And many of these issues of the heart, upon the balances of the heart, if we're able to follow these things through, you can even feel a leading to do something that looks right. Let me give you a funny example, like preaching the bus. Now, it's good to preach in the bus if you have space. But there can be a way that there'll be a pressure. Preach now. Preach now. If you don't do it now, you have missed it. Yes, there are leaders that come that you should be prompt. Don't be hasty, but you should do it immediately. Yes, that's the truth. But by the training of the Spirit, you will know. So there are many things the pressure is putting on you. The laws of life is causing you to break. The processes that are not being followed. Imagine if you have to quickly submit your leading to pastor because you feel a brother is already coming close to a sister. But you really feel the Holy Ghost has given you that leading. But you see your brother maybe coming close. You quickly share with daddy and say, daddy, at least it's on the file. I'm on the queue. Now, truly you may have received a prompting, but there's already a law of life being broken there. A sister is not a competition to be won. She's not a trophy to be won. If it even happens that that brother takes that sister, so let it be. The Lord is more than sufficient. So you see that where you will know that thing may even have started as an original light, but through traveling through the soul, through the different, you know, topographies and challenges, you know, and shortcomings and infirmities of the soul, you know, leading can be corrupted. And we thank God for all the balances, you know, and checks that we've been taught. I trust that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we must also be careful around this area because the essence of leading, Pastor Praise has labeled for the past, you know, 9 weeks, it is for change and transformation and salvation. And every leading is what? It's redemptive. In the first 5 years of marriage, one of the things that many couples are tortured with is that I married the wrong person. Maybe they will feel that, after this leading of the Spirit, hey, if I had known, he will not allow you to be led properly. You now come here, he will come with condemnation so that you will never find a balance. Now, I want you to know, if you ever have that kind of thought, you should never allow it prosper for one more day. Because Satan wants you to now break another law of life. So you will just be going from death unto death. Even Google Maps, when you miss the way, what does it say? Finding what? Alternative way, rerouting you. Maybe you will spend a little more time in traffic. You will still get to your destination. If Google Map can do it, then Holy Ghost, just to also let us know that in case maybe you are learning and you just feel, oh, I've missed it here, I'm finished, I can never attain salvation again. Maybe I went to the wrong school or I did this or I do. You can't work it out by yourself. The Lord that brought you a realization of increased understanding in this faculty will still lead you going forward. You are not the one that will take over that curriculum because you will still be breaking another law of life. No, don't do it like this. No. Allow the Lord to lead you. For example, if you feel that maybe I should have been in that other church, be careful because Satan can also make you to stumble in that area as well. Leave it. You are under a pastor, right? Just stay under authority. Let the Lord, by reason of time, by reason of proving, by reason of the leading of the Spirit, he can orchestrate it beautifully. And the Lord can work out whatever he wants to work. But the moment we begin to take over things in the name of trying to arrange and correct it, the scripture says that Moses, when it came to his heart, he actually had a prompting that deliverance should come to the children of Israel through him. He decided to take a step. And that step, you know, was a very costly one. The scripture says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 14, it says that,
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, you are breaking the law of life. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. But this say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Then he now began to explain in the next few verses the manifest works of the flesh and also the manifest works of the spirit. That's in terms of the fruit of the spirit. And he then went on to verse 25. He says, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. And when you also check from Romans chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, by the time it was culminating in Romans 8, 14, he says, for as many as are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, so it means that infirmities of the flesh, how we are going to escape it is by the leading of the spirit. Change in nature, how those things will come about is by the leading of the spirit. Before we started reading Galatians 5:22, it says, for as many as are led, if you are led of the spirit, you are not under the law. So before you can begin to talk about expressing certain fruit and walking in the spirit, there's no walk in the spirit. You know, there's no bearing of fruit in the spirit. There's no fruitful life in the spirit. There's no victorious Christian life if we are not able to come into all these things as a result of what Pastor Praise, you know, has taught us and labored on us. You know, I trust God that the Lord will help us mightily. The Lord will strengthen us to pick this. And at least we know that as a result of this lesson, the leading of the spirit is not only just for making choices, you know, and decisions when we don't want to make mistakes. It is for a change of nature. It is leading us to salvation. It is leading us out of the law of sin and death and leading us to mastery of law of life and peace at the minimum as we are beginning to walk, you know, towards salvation. I want us to trust God to illuminate these things in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinu Senior Ministry off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.